Welcome to episode 10 of the Coaching for Leaders Membercast. This Membercast is brought to you by the Coaching for Leaders Academy. If you're a manager, executive, or business owner who's ready to accelerate your leadership skills, the Academy may be an option for you, especially if you're wishing for a team of trusted advisors who provide regular coaching for the toughest situations and decisions. It's an intimate group of participant leaders who work personally with me for an entire year to develop leadership excellence, accountability, and to empower each other. You can discover a lot more about the Academy and apply for membership by visiting coachingforleaders.com/academy. Developing the talent of others is a key focus of our Academy, and it's a key competency for leaders. Way back on episode 153, executive coach Bill Bliss said, "The number one role of any leader is to identify and prepare their successor." I have to admit that when that episode first aired, I wasn't entirely sure I was with Bill on it being the number one standalone most important thing for leaders. So I've been thinking about that since that episode aired a few years ago, and I've been trying to think of what else was more important. And I've ultimately concluded that he's right. After all the conversations and interviews over the years, if you're not developing others in the long run, not a lot else matters. And my first exposure to this was when I read the book Execution by Larry Bossidy and Ram Charan years ago. Bossidy, who's the former CEO of Honeywell, claimed that he spent half of his time developing the executives on his team. Half of his time. Now, I don't know what the right percentage is, but in my experience working with leaders, the vast majority are spending way too little of their time developing others. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but I think that a chief one is because a lot of us are too much in the habit of doing things ourselves, thinking about our skill set, and then trying to step in and unfortunately sometimes rescuing others. You may remember hearing from Michael Bungay Stanier on episode 284. Michael is an executive coach, and he's also the author of The Coaching Habit. By the way, side note, if you read one book on talent development, buy and read The Coaching Habit. It's the best book for the everyday leader on how to develop people that I have seen in years. So anyway, when Michael was on episode 284, we discussed how to stop rescuing people from their problems. And we talked in detail about how a lot of leaders get themselves into this position where they feel like they need to jump in and always be rescuing people. And as you'd imagine, you know, it's pretty complex, but I think there's a few things you can start doing now if you aren't already on how you delegate that will help keep you from always rescuing people. But even way more importantly than that, help them to develop the skill set they need to eventually do the task better than you. Bet you a plate of Oreo cookies that if you do these three things, at least somewhat consistently, you'll be delegating more effectively than most of the managers in your organization. So here's the three. First, make sure you're really clear on the expected outcome. Here's what I mean. If you're delegating something to someone else, you probably are the one who has ultimate authority and responsibility for it, meaning it's pretty likely you know the objective of the work and what it's supposed to accomplish. The mistake is assuming that just because you've told someone else what to do, that they are clear on what success looks like. Often, when someone expresses frustration to me about not getting the results they want from a member of their team, this is the question I ask. I'll do some version of saying, if I was to meet with your employee right now and ask them to articulate exactly what the end product was supposed to look like, what would they tell me? And I'm going to estimate about 2/3 of the time, the person I ask that question to comes back with some version of, well, I might not have articulated the outcome quite as clearly as I could have. I could see where there could be some fuzziness on this. Fair enough. We've all been there, right? Me too. We're not going to go back and change the past, but we can do better going forward. So when you're delegating something, before you ever talk to the other person. Be sure you're really clear on these. What does the end product need to do? Not how it's done, mind you, but what it's supposed to achieve. Also, the rules of engagement. What's the budget? Who can they get resources from? What are the quality metrics that need to be hit? And finally, what's the timeline for it? So that's first, you having clarity on your expectations, and of course, ultimately communicating that clarity before someone begins the work. Now, before I tell you what's second, imagine for a moment you just rented a car for a few days, you're on a business trip, you're just about to return the car at the end of the trip, and you pull up to the airport, and then if you're me, you drive around aimlessly for like 15 minutes trying to find a gas station close enough to the airport to get the tank full, but far enough so that you don't have to pay the gas price at the airport. There really should be an app for that, by the way. But see, let's say you get to the gas station, you pull the car up. What grade of gasoline do you put in the rental car? Premium grade, or do you put in the cheap stuff? Of course, you do what I do, right? You put in the cheap stuff, not your car, right? Why would you do more than the minimum that you need to do? So it turns out ideas are the same way, and so are projects you're delegating to others. Remember when I said a moment ago that you need to define the end project, but not tell them how to accomplish it? That's because if you dictate ad nauseum exactly how to do something step by step, you haven't allowed them to have ownership over the work. It's your idea still, and it's still your project. They're just the one executing it, just like the rental car. Most of the time, you can do a lot better than that. And yeah, I know there's exceptions. If someone's doing something that's highly technical for the first time and there's a life safety issue, perhaps, there's always exceptions. But too often, we're not giving people as much ownership as we should. So key point number two is once you've made expectations clear, have them put together the plan for how they're going to meet the objectives. Not you, them. Schedule a second meeting for them to come back to you and share their plan. Now, obviously, if someone has never done the work before, give them the resources that they need to get started. Suggest maybe the people they've got to talk to. Give them the documentation that they need. But make sure the ownership for getting the plan started stays with them. So if you do that, getting clear on expectations and having them take ownership for putting together the plan, there's a third thing you can do that will really help a bunch too, and that's this. Decide in advance with them when you're going to check in once the project's underway. Now, the reason this is important and really helpful to you is because no one likes to be micromanaged. Most of us have had bad managers in our careers, and it seems like whenever I ask people what made your worst managers so bad, they often say that the person micromanaged everything. As such, a lot of us have some healthy fear about not micromanaging people, right? But that fear becomes unhealthy when it keeps us from delegating, which I find happens a lot. So here's a really simple way around worrying about micromanaging people. Just decide in advance with the person you're delegating something to how often you're going to check in. If you decide in advance that you're going to check in on Tuesday mornings every week, then that's when you check in. And they get the autonomy between check-ins to keep ownership for their work and also to make mistakes and to learn from those mistakes between the check-in periods. Now, if the person's more experienced and you have a lot of trust with them, the check-ins are a lot more infrequent. If the person is a novice at the work or you just don't have as much trust with them, then you check in more frequently. But it's not micromanagement when you check in because you already decided in advance when you were going to check in and everyone agreed to it. So then it's just we're doing what we said we were going to do. Expectations are aligned and you can spend your time during the check-ins doing the really valuable stuff by asking the great coaching questions that Michael Bungay Stanier has taught us. So my advice to you is to begin doing at least one of these three things. Number one, get clear on the expectations for the outcome. Communicate those expectations. Second, they put together the initial project plan, not you, and come back to you for alignment and coaching. And third, you decide in advance when you're checking in and keep to that schedule. That avoids all the politics of the micromanagement stuff. If you do at least one of those, maybe even get started on all three, you'll start to free up more of your time to focus on talent development, and you'll actually develop the skills of the people on your team, the objective of doing it in the first place. For more on applying what you've heard in this episode, visit coachingforleaders.com/academy to apply for a membership in our next year-long Academy cohort. In the meantime, see you for the next MemberCast.